In your face. Well, Equality Australia has released its Rainbow Votes Report, a national online survey of 5,346 LGBTIQ plus voters. On the line, we have Heather Corkle, who is the Legal Director of Equality Australia. Heather, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for having me.
It is a fascinating survey. Tell us about the results. What were the priority areas for queer voters?
Well, I mean, certainly we heard that LGBTIQ plus voters are really engaged on the matters that most affect our rights. So, you know, the message that we heard very strongly was that, 95% said that it was factored into their vote. What LGBTI, has certainly the response to LGBTIQ plus policy issues. And we also looked at our top five in terms of how people rated the importance. And those were in order, conversion practices, dealing with discrimination, unnecessary medical interventions on intersex people, better support for rainbow families, and also tackling the mental health crisis in our communities.
Wow, wow. So there's a lot there. What were some of the other issues that queer voters raised?
Well, we actually got people to rate a series of 10 issues. We also looked at various subpopulations to see what was most important to various subpopulations such as intersex people, trans people. What's really interesting is that people were really unified across the board, and so that even if it was perhaps an issue that wasn't directly affecting them, such as the intersex surgeries issue, it didn't matter because our community all were rallied behind that group and saying that that was a highly important issue. But of course, for trans and gender diverse voters, they did certainly prioritise gender affirming care as a higher priority perhaps than other groups. In terms of the issues, we also asked generally around what people are thinking about, in terms of the universal issues that affect all of us. And unsurprisingly, apart from LGBTIQ plus issues, cost of living and the environment were also rating particularly highly. But compared to 2022, when we ran this survey, the climate did come first and then LGBTIQ plus issues. So we do see a little bit of a change of trend there where people are prioritising more the issues that directly affect our community. We think that's a combination of the landscape as it is now and also, people perhaps feeling that they have been let down, in the last term of government and maybe expecting more action on some things.
And I imagine, people are looking at what's happening in the US and there's a real concern that that could happen here, and that's motivating queer voters to say LGBTIQ plus issues are a priority for us because we don't want to go down that path.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. And I think that what's also interesting, we actually had a real increase since the last election of undecided voters. So they were up 7% to this point from 13% to 20% this time. So more indecision, more people interested in changing their vote. We actually had almost 37% said they changed their vote. Real interest in third, in not voting for major parties, perhaps even increasing, which is, of course, something we're seeing across the general population as well.
Yeah, from that queer perspective, what do you think's driving it apart from just the way the world's going? For example, do you think that the indecision and then the backflip and all of the, hoo-ha around the census, which I know the government's rectified, but do you think that's a factor?
I do. And in fact, part of the Rainbow Votes report, apart from outlining the survey results, is we also did a detailed scorecard on government progress in this term. And once I put that together, I thought, actually, Labor has done a heck of a lot for our communities over this time, particularly in the areas of mental health, domestic and family violence, hate crimes. A lot actually had been addressed, but there's just a couple of standout things, I think. The backflip on the census certainly stays in people's mind, but also the fact that there was an election commitment to address discrimination against LGBTQ plus teachers and students in schools, and that was not carried through. So I think those couple of really major concerns that weren't dealt with, I think, are hanging around in people's minds.
I know you're not a politician, but do you think the Peter Dutton factor is also a factor with queer voters? Do you think a lot of queer voters are turned off by him and have real grave concerns about the policy trajectory he may go down if he's elected?
Well, there's actually some separate polling that was actually commissioned by Equality Australia by Redbridge. So we did some... we did a national poll of 1,000 general population voters and also two focus groups. And what we actually heard very strongly from those, from from that research is that voters were really turned off by politicisation of LGBTQ plus communities, and particularly in relation to politicisation of trans people, for political gains. It was something that came across strongly in the survey. 9 in 10 voters didn't approve of those sort of tactics. And in the focus groups, when things were raised around, you know, is Australia too woke? You know, is this actually resonating with you when politicians talk about these issues? This really typically elicited a frustrated response about the real lack of prioritisation and a lack of personal relevance when this is really a cost of living election. So we're seeing some hints of, you know, and certainly some, you know, there is some opportunity sometimes where, you know, perhaps Dutton and other third parties have made suggestions that they might head down the same track as Trump, but I don't think it's necessarily gone as far as it did before the 2024 election in the US. I think that the politicians all have the same polling that we do, and they know that generally it doesn't actually play well with voters. You know, in some cases, either it is that people don't vote on LGBT issues, or you know, it can actually lose votes or turn people off in some situations. So at this point, we're not seeing, you know, attacks on our communities as a central part of the election strategy, which we're very, very pleased to see at the moment.
Health is obviously an issue for the community. Queer voters obviously are concerned about health issues. We've seen some progress in relation to rainbow families and Medicare very recently. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, great to be able to report that. And it didn't quite make it into our scorecard as it happened pretty much the day of. But it's always been the case that it's been difficult for people who are seeking Medicare for fertility services. If it's for a non-medical issue, there's been really inconsistent approaches where one doctor may immediately give the Medicare rebates, others would make you go through a process of trying to, perhaps have 3 failed treatments before they would say, okay, well, there might be a medical issue and we can now give you the rebate. So there's been really unfair and inconsistent inequitable treatment. Because the fertility services have now adopted a broader definition of infertility, the government has also agreed to and accepted that new definition. And it does mean now that everyone should have access to Medicare for fertility treatments, except, unfortunately, if you're going through surrogacy. So there is more work to be done. So we hope that that gap is still addressed in the next term.
You mentioned the tone of the campaign. Do you have some concerns about some of the stuff that's been creeping out? I know there was a flyer distributed that was pretty scornful against trans people, and my understanding is targeted the candidate for Cooper here in Victoria who is trans.
I mean, it's terrible to see these tactics. But again, we're hoping that they don't have a central part in the way that people vote. Obviously, when these things happen and they can, you know, at times amount to hate speech, it's just terrible and really, you know, destructive for our communities and our health. But, you know, I'm hoping that the polling is right and these are tactics that are not very wise to use. I mean, we saw it, of course, with some of the Trumpet of Patriots ads in the paper. There was a big backlash to that. I don't think it's a vote winner.
You mentioned the US before. Equality Australia ran a really successful, community announcement very recently on social media, really kind of cautioning people about travelling to the US, particularly trans people and also people with a background in LGBTIQ plus activism. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, absolutely. And just to say that the advice we've given is very general. And so if anyone's wanting to go to the US, make sure you do get your own advice. Go speak to the US consulate. Also ask Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade, or DFAT. There is some advice that they actually don't have publicly available that you can ask for to get more information. But in a general sense, these are the folks that are most at risk. People on X passports, trans people, particularly those who've entered previously on another name or gender, might be flagged. LGBTQ plus people with any public profile history of activism, that may be searchable. You might be able to be found on Google. And then finally, also those who have a gender expression that perhaps as like non-conforming, that might also flag you in terms of the documentation that you're presenting. So in terms of what people need to think about, I mean, there are very serious risks at the moment of travelling to the USA. If you do need to go, there are steps that you can actually take to prepare, and we actually have outlined those in our advice as well. But absolutely, it's changing every day. We keep hearing news stories that are really concerning. So, you know, people need to keep a watching brief really coming up to their trip to work out if it's actually a safe thing to do.
Absolutely. There was a young trans woman who was arrested in Florida for using the women's bathroom. There's been reports, of course, of immigration officers at the border going through people's devices, and if they find material they critical of the government in the US. People have been denied entry. There's real risks, and you're right. It's deteriorating very, very quickly, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, one of the most concerning things we saw was in a memo, which was about this idea of misrepresenting a person's sex. So if you are travelling on documents that are different from, you know, what they call your biological sex at birth, their words, not mine, you know, they can actually not only deport you, but this could lead to a permanent ineligibility or a ban on you ever coming back to the US as well. And the customs officers are actually being asked to look for this. So in terms of like the risks, it's everything at the lower end of the scale. It could involve some humiliation, intentional misgendering, you know, invasive questioning. But at the worst, we're talking about people being arbitrarily detained, invasive searches, and, you know, at the absolute worst, never being able to go back to the US. So if there's a lot of risks that need to be considered.
And then, of course, you know, there's people being detained in immigration detention facilities at the airport while they're awaiting a flight back to Australia or wherever because they've been denied entry. And then there's all of the misgendering that goes with that in the facility that they're put in, which is really scary.
Yes, and beyond misgendering, I mean, trans people are never safe in detention settings, even in Australia. So you can imagine perhaps being placed with the wrong gender, searches that can be as evasive as strip search. There's major risks that if things go really horribly wrong. A couple of things that people, you know, sometimes people must travel. We understand that. There may be, you know, compassionate reasons why someone must go, but there are a few things you can do. One really important thing is to actually memorise phone numbers of people that you could call in an emergency, because if your phone's taken off you need to know how to call someone. Make sure other people know your exact plans. Travel with another person, of course, if you can, and, you know, also think about bringing a burner phone or logging out of all of your apps on the phone that you bring along.
I mean, you can really see why LGBTIQ plus voters in your Rainbow Votes report were identifying LGBTIQ plus issues as their major concern. Because, I mean, you know, what happens in the US often happens here a bit later. It kind of, you know, comes across the Pacific like a wave, doesn't it? People must be really worried about Peter Dutton being elected, becoming Prime Minister, and this kind of stuff happening here.
Yeah, I understand that there is always that concern. I think it's I understand that people want to draw comparisons to the US, and I certainly think we share, you know, many cultural aspects, and there is some comparisons that can be drawn. But I think also, in many ways, we do have a very different culture. It was very heartening to hear the results of our Redbridge survey and focus groups. You know, there was really strong support for LGBTQ plus communities, and people really don't want to see, you know, people turn, you know, us turn into the US in terms of trans lives politicised. You know, 89% of people in that survey said that LGBT people deserve to live with dignity and respect. And, you know, is what was really interesting in terms of the politicisation question, there was even stronger reaction that trans people shouldn't be politicised. So we just hope that, you know, the cultural differences are significant enough that it doesn't happen here. And also the fact that we've got compulsory voting. We can't forget that only 32% of Americans actually voted for Donald Trump. So there's not a situation here where people can just stay home. So we won't have, hopefully, the extreme outcomes that there has been in the US.
Equality Australia will be having a candidates forum with representatives from the political parties, yeah? What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, that's on the 15th of April. Extremely popular, so it's already sold out in person, but anyone can watch nationwide online. So head along over to our Rainbow Votes section of our website, where you can actually read the Rainbow Votes report in full, and the information about the forum is there as well.
Will you be surveying the political parties and releasing that before the election?
That's our aim, yes. So we've already got a party questionnaire out to the parties, and also a handful of independents as well. And so we will be publishing, what we get back. We're really hoping to get some commitments, at least from the major parties coming into the election.
Heather Corkle, the Legal Director at Equality Australia, thank you so much for your time this afternoon.
Many thanks.
3CR. In Your Face would like to thank Thorn Harbour Health for their sponsorship of this program. Thorn Harbour Health envisions a future where our LGBTIQ+ communities and people living with HIV are healthy and live safely with dignity and well-being. To find out more, search for Thorn Harbour Health online.